following is a recording of a sermon given at All Saints Lutheran Church in Ottawa, Canada. For additional messages and more information, visit allsaintslutheran.ca.
I'm with you today. I'm thankful to the board, also to the leaders of this congregation for inviting me to share God's word. And today we are going to seek the Lord's help. Before we go further, shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have given us this word and your Holy Spirit is available to us to minister to us. And so, Lord, we pray that you will talk to us, quicken our hearts and spirits, and talk to us through your Spirit today so that we may obey. Anoint me with your wisdom, strength, and power. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I bring greetings from my congregation, the Canadian Gujarati Christ Church. We meet in Brampton, Ontario, every Sunday at 1:30 p.m. And we have a small congregation like yours as well. And every Sunday after Sunday, we come and worship the Lord. And it's a great privilege for me to serve them for the last 10 years or so. And it is also a great privilege again for me and Julian to come and stand before you and worship the Lord with you today, this morning. Today we are going to consider a subject called the salt and light influence. And while I was praying about this Sunday service and the invitation that I received, the Lord laid on my heart to speak on this subject. Because we are expected as Christians to make an impact on the world by acting as salt and light. The Bible teaches us in Psalm 24:1 that the earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. Unfortunately, when we look around, we find that the world is under the dominion of the enemy of God, Satan. Satan is trying to control the systems of this world. And we see corruption, we see evil, we see hatred, and all kinds of dirty things in the world. And the question comes to us that, what are we supposed to do about it? The forces of darkness are at peak. And as Christians, it becomes increasingly difficult for us to live a holy and godly life. That being said, we are also required to stay in the world, as Jesus prayed in John 17:15. That is called the high priestly prayer of Christ. He prays to the Father for our protection. And he also said, my prayer is not for you to take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. The purpose of keeping Christians in the world is to make a positive impact on the world, its system, and the people. And I call it as the salt effect. The first thing that Jesus Christ said while he was talking to his disciples. Remember that these instructions or teachings recorded in Matthew chapter 5 are predominantly and basically for the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he gives them a commission. He gives them the beatitudes, the blessings that are associated for being his disciples. At the same time, a mandate or a responsibility is also given to the Christians. In verse 13, Matthew 5 and verse 13, Jesus says that you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. And so what is this salt effect? You know, the salt adds taste to the food. We can't really, you know, enjoy the food if there is no salt in it. The moment we start eating and if we forgot to, put some salt in the food, we'll realize that it becomes a tasteless thing for us, right? We cannot enjoy the food. It adds taste and sweetness to the food. And it also acts as a preservative for food. when the fridges were not invented in the ancient times, how people used to keep things, you know, preserved for many, many more days, particularly meat. And they used to smear or apply salt to the loaf. And that salt would do one thing. It would prevent the decay of the food and it will preserve it for a longer time so that it can be cooked later on. And this is what Christians are supposed to do in the world. We are also expected to become a salt in the world. We are expected to produce good taste in the world. Every time we open a newspaper and we read all these, you know, depressing stories, the question comes to us is that, what is so good about it? What is so nice about this? How can this world be a better place? Well, the answer is found here. As Christians, we are expected to do both tasks. We have to also add good taste or sweetness around us, and we also have to act as preservative against the moral and spiritual decay of the society caused by evil. And let me tell you that a salt is useless until it is out of the salt shaker. I call this way, if we do not mix the salt in the food, if we do not take it out of the salt shaker and sprinkle over the food, it has no purpose, right? And the Christians who are confined in the salt shaker and are not willing to be sprinkled cannot make any positive impact in the society. So in order to make that impact, the salt has to become a part of the food. And so are we. And Lord Jesus Christ is also warning us that if the salt loses its saltiness, the very purpose of salt is lost. Because if the salt loses its saltiness, it cannot give sweetness to food. It cannot give add any taste to the food, right? And it is of no use at all. And chemically speaking, those who are chemistry students or graduates would realize that salt is a very stable compound. It is called sodium chloride, right? NaCl we call it in chemical formula, in chemistry. And this sodium chloride is a very stable compound which can retain its property for many, many years. The question comes to is that how can a salt lose its saltiness? In the times of Jesus, there was a soil which was kind of a white colored soil. It intermixed with salt, and because of the intermixing of that white soil, salt appeared to be white, but in the taste, it lost its saltiness. And people used to throw this salt on the sideways and walkways and sidewalks so that people would walk over it. This salt is nothing good for. This salt is useless. It cannot be used in food because it will spoil the food. And that's what Jesus Christ was referring to. And sometimes what happens is that instead of making positive impact on the world around us, it is quite possible for Christians that we allow the worldliness, we allow the worldly standards to affect our mental thinking. We allow the things of this world to come in our lives. The evil that is all around us, instead of making a positive impact for the Lord Jesus Christ, we allow the things of the world to take control of our lives. It is nothing, but it is like intermixing the white soil in the salt. And so we have to be very, very careful that we do not allow the things of the world to come in our lives, so that we lose our effective testimony. And how can we do that? The question is, because the world around us is evil. We can do this by remaining faithful to the Lord and faithful to His word. We allow the word of God to influence our hearts and minds. That being said, we constantly make efforts to read God's word, the Bible. We ask the Holy Spirit to explain to us the Bible. And not only that, but when the Lord speaks to us through His word, we also try to obey and put the words into our practical living. And until that happens, our effective testimony cannot be guaranteed. Not only that, but we also need the power of the Holy Spirit. The Word of God tells us in very clearly in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8 that when you will receive the Holy Spirit from above, you will be my witnesses. And the power of the Spirit is also important for us to use it so that we can continue to be effective as salt in the world. So remember what we have to do. We have to bring goodness into this world as salt. We have to make sure that by positive living and by living a godly life, we influence the lives of other people so that they will be prevented from decaying spiritually and morally. And this can be done by effective witnessing. We make an every opportunity of sharing our testimony, and we can do it every time we have the opportunity. So never miss an opportunity when time comes, when we have an opportunity to talk about Jesus to someone. Grab that opportunity. Let your lives be a living example of the life of Jesus Christ. We are supposed to reflect the holiness and love of Jesus Christ in the people around us. When we do that, we can definitely do our function of becoming a salt in the world. And the second effect that I am just telling is that it is called the light effect. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 5:14 that you are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Remember in John 8 and 12, Jesus Christ made this statement. These are some of the great I am statements, one of the greatest I am statements of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, I am the light of the world. Remember that he was speaking this 2000 years ago, and some people say that world is more evil than that time. The world was evil right from the day it was created. The moment the Satan came into action and he deceived our parents, great-grandparents, Adam and Eve, the world is in a mess right from there. God had to destroy that evil world by flood in the times of Noah, in the days of Noah. We know that story already. And so the world is constantly going in the wrong direction. I would say that the world is becoming darker and darker every generation. And so this statement of the Lord Jesus Christ that I am the light of the world, it is a very, very important statement. He is the light of the world. But one important thing that Jesus also said in Matthew 5:14, that you are the light of the world. Jesus is the light of the world. Yes, he was when 2000 years ago he came into this world and he was physically present in his body for 33 and a half years. He was the light of the world. He brought light in many lives while he was there. But then after, when he was ascended back to God the Father, this assignment or the task or mission of becoming light is now ours. Jesus Christ is telling us that now you have to continuously doing what I was doing, the spreading the light in an evil world. And normally, when we talk about light, we always associate light with holiness, godliness. And darkness, of course, is equated with evil that we see around us. The world is a dark place. But there is a possibility that as Christians, we can make positive impact on the world around us. And we are also compared, first of all, to a town built on a hill. Imagine a town built on a hill is always visible, right? In the daytime, people can see that town because it is in an elevated region. In the nighttime, the night light of this town will make it visible all the time. So whether it is day or night, it cannot be ever hidden. And Jesus Christ is telling us that we are also supposed to be like a town built on a hill. What was he trying to say to us? He was trying to tell us that our high standards of moral conduct has to be like a town built on a hill. No matter what we do, you will never be able to hide our good moral standard life or moral conduct. And sometimes, as Christians, we are not bold enough to stand for the Lord and testify our faith. We don't have to apologize for being Christians in the world. And sometimes we do that. How? By not standing for the Lord when we should be. By not speaking out for the Lord Jesus Christ when we should be. And sometimes we tend to be a little bit apologetic about being Christians. We feel that, oh, other people will be offended if I say that I am a Christian. There is no need for that. Because the people who are atheists or who are not believing in God, right, by their conduct, they are offending us as Christians. Don't you think so? Their conduct is offending us at times. We are disturbed by the way they live, and it offends our feelings. They don't apologize for that, do they? Then why, as Christians, we should be apologetic? We should be like a town built on a hill, always visible, always present. Always people can look that town and say that, oh yes, there is a town up there, whether it's day or night. And this is what we are supposed to do. We should not be hiding ourselves in a corner as Christians. Not only that, but sometimes it is our tendency to stay away from politics and public service. And that's the reason why the voice of Christians becomes weaker in the society. Isn't it true that as Christians we have withdrawn ourselves from the politics, we have withdrawn ourselves from active public life, and these people who are there in the parliaments and in the highest authorities, they are making decisions and policies which are not at all in line with God's word and Bible. Do you agree with me? The reason is that we have become quiet. We don't raise our voices enough so that we are heard in those places. And it's good to see somebody who is a Christian, devoted Christian, and who enters into a parliament and he stands up and he speaks for the Lord Jesus Christ and he speaks for the Christians and the church. That will be the day when our voices will be heard in where they should be heard. People will take us seriously. Every time a decision or a policy is made, the viewpoint of Christians will be considered. But that will only happen when we are not hiding ourselves in the corner as Christians and feeling self-pity on us. Oh, this world is a bad place. Look at the decisions that our parliaments are making, our politicians are doing, what they are doing, because we are not involved in that. And in order to become the light of the world, it is very, very important that we penetrate in those areas too. We get involved in the society. We get involved in the world affairs. And that will really make us a powerful voice as Christians. And Jesus Christ is also encouraging us to shine our lights in the darkness of the world. I must tell you that every single candle is capable of removing some darkness. And every individual Christian believer in the society, in a workplace, in a university, wherever God has placed us, we are like that one single candle. We can definitely remove the darkness in a small area. And imagine a power of millions of candles lit up. It can really make a great impact, isn't it? And that's what we are supposed to do. God has placed us in strategic places, so that we can shine the light of the world, we can shine the light of the Lord Jesus Christ. And our responsibility is to shine our light by doing good works. And through that spread the message of light in the darkness. Now this is a little bit contradictory to us when we look at Matthew chapter 6, when Jesus Christ was talking about doing your works of charity in private. He says that you do not, make a big show of yourself when you are doing a work of charity or doing good things. Then why the Lord Jesus Christ is telling us here that we are expected that our light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. The difference between the two passages is this. A person who is trying to impress others by his good works, and he's trying to make a name for himself, Christ doesn't approve that. He said that you are supposed to do your works of charity in private, whether you are giving alms, you are fasting, you are praying, do it in private. It's your relationship between you and your God. It is not for the public demonstration of how good we are. But at the same time, in this passage, it says that let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. So as long as the purpose of our doing good deeds is to glorify God, that is what we are expected to do. It is not to glorify ourselves, but to glorify God, and people may see our good works and they may say that, oh, this person is so nice and good and kind. Why it is so? And that gives us an opportunity to say something about the Lord Jesus Christ, who makes us capable of doing good things. The world is a dark place, but with the help of our Lord Jesus Christ, we can live a holy life, a godly life, a life that can make impact on others, a life that can dispel darkness around us. But that is only possible with that one purpose and goal in our mind, that we want to do this for the glory of God the Father. And so when all these things are given to us as a commission to be the salt of the earth and also to be the light of the world, the question comes to us that how can we do this? It sounds difficult. Do we have any example to follow? And yes, Jesus is our best model. That's my third point of influencing the world. And how? I'm going to just share a few things from Matthew chapter 9, verses 35 to 38. And then before we read that verses, I would just like to draw your attention to one fact, that Jesus was in this world for 33 and a half years. And out of the 33 and a half years, he was preparing for the work of the kingdom of God for 30 years. So technically, in the Bible, we see that for 3.5 years, he was actually doing the ministry of proclaiming the kingdom of God, healing sick, meeting their spiritual and physical needs, doing miracles, and preaching the kingdom of God, and transforming the lives of people around him. And he did it for 3.5 years. And today when we look at this world, we see the effect of the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ all over the world. We are Christians because Christ came and he preached the gospel and he established the kingdom. He established his church. And one life, what he can do in 3.5 years is an example, the best example for us, because he has influenced this world the most. No person in the history has made an impact on the world other than the Lord Jesus Christ. Only in 3.5 years he was able to begin this process. And he also got hold of some untrained, unschooled fishermen in his enterprise. And what happened? They too were able to make an impact in the world. And in Matthew chapter 9, verses 35 to 38, we are going to look at this passage and see how Jesus Christ is our best model. Jesus traveled through all the towns and villages of that area, teaching in the synagogues and announcing that good news about the kingdom. And he healed every kind of disease and illness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were confused and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. He said to his disciples, "The harvest is great, but the workers are few. So pray to the Lord who is in charge of the harvest. Ask him to send more workers into his fields." In this passage, we are going to reflect on four important things that Jesus is telling us to do in order to make a greater impact in the society. First of all, the keys to ensuring our life has a revolutionary impact on the world, we have to see as Jesus saw the people. And this is very, very important. When Jesus looked at the crowds, he didn't just see a clamoring group of people who were about to demand even more of his time and energy. He looked beyond the surface and he realized that they were spiritually hungry. They were looking for answers to their problems. They were depressed and they were downcast. And they had this spiritual hunger that only Jesus Christ could provide or satisfy. And that is how we should be doing as Christians too. When we look at the crowds around us, what comes to our mind? Do we realize that they are helpless without the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? Do we realize that they are on the path of eternal destruction without Christ if we will not tell them the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? How we are looking at the crowd? We have to have this eyes of Jesus Christ in us so that we can see the people as Jesus saw. Second thing that we must do is that we must feel as Jesus felt for the people. Once we begin to view the world through the lens of Christ or eyes of Christ, it's only natural that we will also begin to share his feelings about the world as well. When Jesus saw the crowds, it is written that his heart was moved with compassion. He had compassion for these people because he realized that they are like sheep without a shepherd. There was no one to guide them into God's kingdom. They were walking in the darkness. Their needs were not met. And so his heart was moved with compassion for them. How about us? Are we feeling the sufferings of people around us? When we look at suffering people, does our heart get broken? Or are we moved to compassion when we look at the world today? What breaks our heart? Does the immorality around us break our hearts? Does the poverty around us break our hearts? And when we have this compassion in our hearts for the people, that will lead us to action as well. And this is what exactly happened for Jesus. The third thing that Jesus did was that he prayed to God the Father for more workers. Jesus was saddened when he saw how much the people were suffering. But he wasn't discouraged by looking at this negative picture. Instead, he asked God the Father to send more people to work in the harvest field. And his Father was greater than any problem we face. When was the last time that we prayed to God to send more workers in the field? And more importantly, when we ask that prayer, first of all, are we prepared ourselves to go out if the Lord tells us to do? Sometimes we are not willing to go out of our comfort zones and talk to people and minister to them. And when we ask the Lord to send more workers, it is quite possible that God will tell me and you also to go in the mission field. And this is a risky prayer to pray, but this is a right prayer to pray as well. Because the world needs people who are willing to go out of their comfort zones and share the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. 200, 300 years ago, we saw that missionaries from the West, they came to India and Asia, and they preached the gospel in those dirty places filled with poor people and people who are worshipping idols. And because of their lives and their testimony, many people came to Christ in those countries. And our forefathers became Christians. And now the presence of Christians is there in those countries because of people who are willing to go out of their comfort zones and share the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we are willing to do that, I am sure that the Lord will send us. Because instead of asking, Lord, you send that person to the ministry, before we pray that, we must be willing to be ready to go ourselves if the Lord calls us to. And fourth thing is the example of Jesus, how he ministered to people. Jesus just didn't look at these people. He was moved with compassion and he just prayed. This is the three things that he did, of course. But the important and most important thing that he did was that he was involved. He rolled up his sleeves and got to work. He was not simply praying. He was not feeling the burden for the unreached people to be served and ministered. But he himself got into act. And what does it really mean to serve people? If you look at the life of Jesus, at times he will be very busy ministering to people right from morning to late night. Sometimes it is written in the Bible that he did not have time to eat his bread, or he did not have enough time to sleep because he was so busy ministering to people. More people came. More needy people came to him. And he continued to serve them. And there was no time for him to relax or rest. Until midnight, sometimes he would be working, getting busy, helping people to know about the kingdom of God and to heal them from their problems. And that is what I call it. Ministering to others is a messy work. It is not an easy work. Sometimes when we are asked to do something for the Lord, we always make excuses. Someone will say, it is too risky to go as missionaries in those places because they kill Christians. Or, what if people make fun of me? Or, I am too old to do anything. Or, I don't have enough resources or money to do God's work. Or, I don't have enough time to serve the Lord. And the most important or the more prominent excuse that we hear from people is that I am afraid to serve the Lord. But let me tell you that no excuse is big enough to disqualify us from doing the work of the Lord. And you are never too young, too old, too poor, too rich, or too busy, too fearful to serve the people around us. What he needs us is a willing heart who is willing to say yes to the Lord. Yes, Lord, I am willing to go. Just like Isaiah, prophet Isaiah. When he heard that Lord speaking to him, who will go for me? Who will become my mouthpiece? Who will go and share this news to people? And Isaiah said, Lord, here I am. I am willing to go. Send me. Send me. And so, it's true for the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, who also were like common untrained men. But in a close fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ for 3 years, they also became great influencers. Acts chapter 4 and verse 13, it is written about Peter and John. When they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. That was the secret of their life. No formal training was given to them. They were unschooled people. They were ordinary fishermen, raw fishermen. But when they stayed with Lord Jesus Christ for 3.5 years with him, they became world changers. They became people who were transforming the world at that time. And that's the reason why Apostle Paul and Silas, when they were in Thessalonica and they were harassed by the Jews, they called them, these who have turned the world upside down have come here too. In Acts chapter 17 and verse 6, they were stationed at Jason's home. And they were looking for this man so that they would come and take them out and perhaps harm them or kill them because they were the people who were making a lot of influence in the world. He says that these who have turned the world upside down have come here too. That was the testimony given to them by their opponents, not by their friends. And it was true. Such was the impact of the ministry of Jesus' disciples, who followed the example of the Lord Jesus Christ and their master and proclaimed the gospel to the ends of the earth. And they were able to turn the world upside down by the power of the Holy Spirit. May the Lord make us great impactors for the world like Jesus and his disciples, that we may also glorify God. Amen.
Thank you for listening. For additional messages and more information, please visit us on the web at allsaintslutheran.ca.